I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. There is no mistaking what the story of the day is. It's the grand jury's decision in New York not to indict the police officer whose chokehold contributed to the death of Eric Garner. That decision, of course, comes on the heels of Ferguson, and for many, the combined effect is a growing mistrust, as President Obama noted today.
Too many Americans feel deep unfairness when it comes to the gap between our professed ideals and how laws are applied on a day-to-day basis.
Deep unfairness combined with racial tensions makes us wonder what all this looks like for a South African. Sean Jacobs grew up under South Africa's apartheid system. He's now on the faculty of the New School in New York and the editor of the blog Africa is a Country.
I'm an immigrant, and I'm middle class. I'm a professional. I'm a college professor, so I'm certainly insulated from, you know, some of the slights or the violence that I suppose a poor black man in New York City is confronted with. And I also live in a fairly middle class neighborhood. At the same time, I recognize that the police, they don't make any distinctions about class when they see you on the street. You're just another black person. And as a South African, I mean, yeah, you know, at one level, this is not very different from, I think, what a poor black person in South Africa is going through right now, which is on the one hand, you have the state acting violently through the police against, you know, people protesting the way that they live or the conditions under which they have to exist. So on one end, I'm sort of, it resonates, but it's also very different in the way that it's taking place.
I mean, a lot has been made about the post-racial U.S. when Obama was elected. Same thing with South Africa, the so-called post-racial world after apartheid was dismantled. Do you find the tension similar between the U.S. and South Africa, the so-called post-racial world that has all these heightened expectations of equality?
With South Africa, what you expected is that you had a black majority government. You know, you had a police that would be transformed. You would have a criminal justice system that would be transforming the courts, etc. Instead, as I said, what you had is a government that does, you know, a number of things on a number of different levels. Yes, it's creating a black middle class for whom it's created a different world for them, a world in which they can flourish, in which they feel protected. But at the same time, the majority of South Africans, black South Africans, are subjected, you know, not just to, I would say, police violence and the sort of spectacular nature of Marikana, but also in the way that...
That's the platinum mine, the strike, and a lot of workers were killed.
Right, but also in the sort of everyday in which it criminalizes black people, the solidifying of apartheid's ghettos, prison system, like, you know, most of the people in prison in South Africa disproportionately are poor black people. But I think where things are also different is that unlike in South Africa, yeah, I think there's an outrage on the part of not just of like sort of middle class people, but also poor black people seem to be outraged. If you see the reaction of Eric Garner's wife or his mother, then you can see, you know, Owen Ferguson or Michael Brown's family. It's a very different reaction. I think in South Africa, what happens is that if you look at the black middle class, they sort of feel, you know, this is their government. They don't necessarily identify with the poor. And I think the poor sometimes in South Africa believe it's their fate.
So for people who are upset by this verdict here in the United States, is there a lesson that we can draw, they can draw from what's happened in South Africa?
I'm not sure South Africa is very helpful. If this was like, say, the early 1990s, where South Africa's the sort of mid to late 1990s, where there was all this optimism in South Africa. And again, it was an optimism sort of built on a sort of false consensus of like a rainbow nation in which somehow just good feelings and good intentions would get South Africa away from this kind of structural apartheid that it inherited so that it could create a new society. But I think in South Africa, there's a sense of like, that didn't work. And I think you see it in the last couple of weeks where that consensus is unraveling. You have white people randomly attacking poor black people who are just walking on the street on their way to work, accusing them either of stealing their car or being a prostitute and just whipping.
This is happening in South Africa right now.
Yeah, this is happening in South Africa right now. So yes, it's the lesson from South Africa is, yeah, you have to figure out that you have to create a society that is free from racism. But the lesson is it's going to be hard to get there. And I think in New York, you can see it also. You can elect a mayor, Bill de Blasio, who's going to be very different from sort of the way that Michael Bloomberg governed here or Giuliani. But if you don't create systems, you cannot just rely on the good intentions of a mayor. You have to put systems in place and you have to enforce those laws. If you're saying that chokeholding is illegal and we're not doing that anymore, then if a policeman then does that, then you can't rely on some broken justice, you know, element of the justice system, the grand jury, to fix that. It's not easy to make these things happen. You have to have systems. You have to work with institutions to get them right.
Sean Jacobs teaches at the New School and edits the blog Africa is a Country.